This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Welcome back. We are the Junkies, live on 106.7 The Fan and NBC Sports Washington. Presented by Crop Metcalf, the official heating and cooling company of the Junkies. You looking to be their next five-star HVAC technician or plumber? Just visit cropmetcalf.com to join their team. I'm John Paul Flame, joined by Eric Bickle and Johnny Cake Sawville. Jason stepped aside to head to his former coach's funeral, Morgan Wooten. It's a big death show.
Unfortunately.
Yeah, it sucks.
And joining us right now to give us a little insight into the passing Kobe Bryant in the NBA is the guy who covers the NBA for ESPN, Tim Bontemps. Hey, Tim.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Doing all right. So it's a weird day. I know everyone's just sort of in a state of shock. Thought the NBA handled it well. Was there any serious consideration given to actually canceling the games yesterday? Did it all happen too late? Or what was sort of the thinking there?
I didn't check with anybody at the league office about how close they came to canceling games, but just from talking to people during the day yesterday, I mean, I whether it was Toronto or Atlanta or some of these other teams, I mean, you never got the sense that that was really on the table, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, this news came out, I think, 45 minutes before the first game of the day. I just don't think it was at that point. You can't really put the toothpaste back in the tube at that point and start like sending people home from arenas. I just think it would have been too complicated to figure out. So, it obviously was a tough day for a lot of the players and coaches, people who, knew Kobe really well. Obviously was, the idol of probably 80% of the league at this point, which is why it's such a raw moment for a lot of the players. But
right.
I think as far as the way the league handled it with the moments of silence they did, I thought what the teams did with the 24-second and 8-second violations was cool. I mean,
that was brilliant. Do you know who came up with that idea? Really brilliant.
I think I don't know specifically. I mean, I know the Raptors and I know the Raptors and Spurs did it in that game, so I don't know if it was Pop and Nick Nurse who kind of talked about it or whatever, but, from there, everybody kind of did it after that, which was pretty cool. But, Kobe Bryant, the thing about Kobe was he was a guy who loved basketball more than anybody and wanted to play more than anybody. So
no doubt.
I think you saw a lot of guys go out and play hard yesterday, even if they weren't necessarily in it mentally. And a lot of guys played really well. So I think that was about as good a tribute to him as they could have had.
Right. What was sort of your personal reaction when you heard the news? Did you think it was real? How did you hear? And then what was your role as soon as you heard?
I'm in Miami for a couple of games today and tomorrow. He played the Magic tonight and the Celtics tomorrow. And it was surreal for me because I was in Philly on Saturday night for LeBron passing Kobe
right
on the all-time scoring list. And obviously his name was on everybody's mouth on Saturday. And LeBron had that amazing, 5-minute soliloquy about him, which is weirdly kind of like a eulogy now. When you go back and watch it, if people haven't watched it, they should go find the tape of it. He talked for an extended period of time about all these connections that he and Kobe had basically from like 1996 on when he came in the league. So I was in an Uber on my way to my hotel, and I was just bored looking through Twitter, kind of waiting to get to my hotel, and I saw the TMZ story, and I had to go like off Twitter to TMZ to try to make sure that it wasn't like some kind of hoax thing, and then just started calling people to try to find out if it was real. I mean, so it was one of those things where you see it and you kind of like everybody else just did a quadruple take and was right. Like, is this actually a real thing? It was just such a completely out of the blue shocker, you know, especially because he's been at these games. His daughter, right. You know, has been at these games with him. I mean, it's, you know, he just was on everybody's minds the night before. It's so wild that things played out this way.
Yeah, he's been so present, whether it's just there on the sidelines, as a fan.
Yep.
What was your interaction with him like when you covered him?
I didn't have a ton of them from a personal perspective. I mean, I was going back through and reading some stories last night. I wrote a story at the Post in 2018 about detail, and I was laughing because I had asked him about it's like the first 10 people who had been covered in detail had a god-awful game the next game, like all of them. And I asked Kobe about it, and he went on this rant about how the show wasn't for simple-minded people, which I thoroughly enjoyed. But my stuff with him was all from far away. Like, I'll never forget, I was in Indianapolis for the night before a Nets Pacers game when I covered the Nets, when I was sitting at the Champion Sports Bar at the downtown Marriott watching the Warriors Lakers game when Kobe blew out his Achilles and walked out and shot the free throws. I'll never forget where it was for that. I went back and forth when I was at the Post for 3 weeks about whether I should go to the final game of his career or I should go to the 73rd win for the Warriors potentially. And I wound up choosing the Warriors game. And then literally everybody at Oracle that night was just watching the second half of the Laker game when he scored 60.
Right.
And I was so angry that I didn't go to that game. So I didn't have like personal interactions with him really like that, but it just, that whole final season, the 2016 season, just seeing him go around the league and be honored the way he was, it was remarkable, and it remains remarkable how many players just think he is God today. Mm-hmm. Like that's the thing that I don't think that fans I know get it to a degree, but like I'm not exaggerating that between 80 and 90% of the league, like Kobe Bryant is their ultimate hero in basketball.
Right.
And like the reverence that people in the league have for him, among like my, I mean, I'm 35, like my generation and down.
Yeah.
Like,
he's really your Jordan. Like 20,
yeah. For guys, you know, like I watched a lot of Michael, but like anybody younger than me, like they don't really remember Michael's career. And like, it was like Kobe Bryant was their guy. And especially because the league is full of all these guys from L.A. And all these guys from L.A., like, they just worship the ground Kobe walks on, whether it's DeMar or James Harden or Russell Westbrook or Kawhi Leonard. I mean, all these guys are enormous Kobe fans. They all, ironically, had to play yesterday. And it just – I don't think you can overstate the impact that he had on the lives and careers of so many of these guys in the league who – you know, we're all just completely blown away yesterday.
Joined by Tim Bontemps, NBA writer for ESPN. The scene tomorrow night is going to be unbelievable in L.A., Clippers taking on the Lakers.
Yeah.
And as you mentioned, Kawhi Leonard was a guy who was very close to Kobe. We saw LeBron's reaction when he deplaned. You know, they heard the news, obviously, when they were coming back from Philadelphia.
Yeah.
Just as a comparison, you can get into the Nuggets-Grizzlies game aftermarket for $4. The lowest price for the Clippers-Lakers game is $880.
Wow.
I did not. I mean, I knew it would be expensive anyway, but yeah. I mean, that's going to be, I mean, L.A. is just going to be a zoo all week. I mean, I can't even, I imagine they're going to have some kind of memorial service at Staples Center later this week, I would guess. They could probably have the damn thing at the Coliseum and sell it out. Like and probably have a million people outside the place. Like his, I mean, as you guys know, like his fans are legion, certainly among regular people too. And, I mean, LA this week is just going to be a crazy scene. 'Cause it's just really, this really hit a lot of people hard, and it's going to like the celebration of his life out there is going to be like few things ever. I mean, I was trying to think of stuff to compare it to. I mean, the only things that I can really think of that are similar, maybe you guys will have better answers, are like Princess Diana dying, like JFK Jr.
Yeah.
dying.
Yeah.
Like, not like these are, this is not like, you know, like for like, I'm, my family's from New York. So like Thurman Munson passing away in a plane crash is a big deal, but Thurman Munson is not Kobe. I mean, this is a worldwide story.
Yeah.
And it's just really,
there's no question.
You know, it's just crazy the number of people that he touched.
Yeah. And the way that he went, I wonder if it will affect the way some of these guys travel. Think about how many of these guys probably all fly private all the time. And then especially the superstars. And think about how many of them fly in helicopters. I wonder if it will change.
I'm supposed to take a trip in a month and a half on a private plane, and I'm not sure I'm going to do it. And I never was going to take a helicopter anywhere. And I sure as hell am not getting on one. I mean, you hear about crashes with these things too often for my liking. So,
Right. Yeah,
I mean, look, a lot of these guys, like you said, all these guys fly private all the time. A lot of them either have helicopters or have, like, you know, used them.
Access to them.
Yeah. I would be thinking twice, man, if it was me. I sure would be.
Right. What's going to be the number one thing that, like, his biggest legacy, do you think it is?
I think it's just the impact he's had on so many guys in the league, in this generation of players. I mean, like I said, you ask 80, 90% of these guys, he was their guy. You know, DeMar DeRozan's entire game is modeled off of him. And, you know, Jason Tatum just, like, worshiped the ground he walked on and does a lot of the stuff that Kobe did. And I think just imparting that level of competitive determination and will and spirit onto so many guys. I mean, you know, just having the that impact on. So, I mean, you saw any guys like Trae Young. I mean, Trae Young was born, I think, well after Kobe's career even started, right? And, you know, Trae Young yesterday is losing his mind about it, and you know, wore number 8 in the game, and like, I think that has to be his legacy. And it, you know, it's so funny that a guy who really went out of his way to hate everyone when he played was starting to come out of his shell in terms of talking to guys, and he would, you know, take guys' calls, like a young guy like Trae Young or Jason Tatum, and he would talk to them. And you know, it was so funny to see, like, kind of the shift he had post playing career, even that final season when he knew he was shot and was kind of going around just giving it his best to play every night. I think that, you know, there was a lot more to run on that going forward. Obviously, that won't happen now. But I think that just that connection he had with so many of these guys has to be the thing that will, you know, make his legacy endure the most.
All right, Tim. Well, we appreciate you joining us.
Appreciate the perspective. Thank you, buddy. Really appreciate it.
Anytime, guys. Good to catch up with you.
Yep. All right, yeah.
Good to talk.
Absolutely.
Tim joined us on the Mattress Warehouse Hotline, of course, an NBA writer for ESPN now.
It's a great point about how all of those players, you can imagine, all grew up idolizing.
Yeah, they worship Kobe.
That, you know, demographic.
Because, like, the next generation, there'll be LeBron.
Yeah, I would think.
Steph Curry.
I would think.
I would actually think Curry's probably influenced. He'll be one of those guys that's influenced a ton.
I mean,
just
if you saw
the amount of three,
if you saw Bradley Beal and heard his post game, he was a guy that clearly idolized Kobe Bryant.
Right.
I mean, he was devastated that he couldn't attend. Like, he was given an invite to, like, his super secret exclusive summer camp, but couldn't go because of the birth, I think, of his second boy, I believe. And now Kobe passed, so he won't ever be able to do that.
Right.
And I'm sure, you know, it obviously affected him. That was his guy.
If you want to chime in, we can open up the phone lines again. We took a bunch of calls earlier, 800-636-1067. Your reaction to the passing of Kobe Bryant. We will switch gears again coming up at 9:40. Mark Turgeon will join us. University of Maryland with a big win yesterday against Indiana. They're now 16-4, tied for second in the Big Ten. So we'll talk to Coach Turgeon at 9:40 here on the Junkies.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. and great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
What up, y'all? It's your boy Danny Green, 3-time NBA champ. You either rooted for me or rooted against me. Join myself and my co-host Harrison Sanford on the Inside the Green Room podcast.
It's a podcast that brings you never-before-told tales from the locker room to candid interviews with basketball legends to breakdowns of what's happening in the NBA right now. Whether you're a diehard fan or casual about your hoops, this podcast brings you the game like never before.
Follow Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to the Kobe Show, take two. Time has wings. You know, even when you realize that you need to appreciate the time, it still goes by fast.
I am a 17-year-old kid, but at the same time, you know, now it's time to go in there and it's time to do some work.
How good is this kid?
The best part of basketball, so many things. When you win, you don't want to let that go. So it doesn't turn off the work. It doesn't turn off the competitive spirit. It turns it up.
You know, there's never anything quite like the first NBA championship.
You don't want that to go away. You want it again. I'd always known that this window was going to come.
I hope people appreciate what we've seen from Kobe Bryant.
Kobe, the road has come to an end. You've been an unbelievable mentor to me.
Thank you for everything you've done for this league. Because of you, it's the reason why I play so hard.
And there's not a lot of guys who come around like Kobe. The game is going to miss you.
I'm just proud to be a friend, be a brother.
Kobe, you did all you could for the game and being a champion forever. A walking legend, man. We appreciate you. Kobe Bean, salute my brother. When the end comes, I'm fine with that. Then you take on that challenge, right?
Kobe Bryant leaving the floor in a standing ovation here.
Gives you chills, doesn't it? It's awful. Just awful news. Everyone was still just grappling with the Kobe Bryant news. Want to give you a chance. We've been doing it throughout the show. If you want to chime in, 800-636-1067. I just jotted down. Mine are very, very obvious. My favorite Kobe moments. The 81-point game, I always think of that. Always.
I didn't watch it live, though.
Nah, it didn't matter. It's something just I always think of.
Sure.
Yeah. Just the stat that he was an 18-time All-Star is all you need to hear.
It's crazy, yeah.
I mean, you can't even fathom that. I remember when he was in high school and was contemplating coming out and just being talked about. And you just wondered. I thought all these guys coming out was a mistake at that time,
right?
And early on, JP talked about like those air balls he shot early in his career. You know, as he kind of adjusted and figured it out.
Well, he was that cocky that he was willing, and at that rookie season, he wasn't the man. He would, I'm guessing, he averaged maybe 12 points a game.
Yeah.
As a rookie,
he was
12,
a prodigy.
13 points a game, but. He had the balls to, and he wanted to take
that
those
cockiness,
shots,
yeah.
Even though he wasn't the guy.
Even
at that time.
Tender age, you knew that he had that bravado that he would develop into what he turned into.
And that part of his drive led to the whole tension with Shaq because it always frustrated him that Shaq didn't work very hard and would show up to training camp overweight.
But see, I was always more of I was always more of an MJ guy because that was our era. Hysterical.
Right.
So
yeah, Kobe was more of a machine.
Was weird for
like
me.
He became more personable and charismatic later on. He was like a cyborg assassin on the court. And to be honest,
he was a killer.
I was saying this, you know, I'm looking at the five. They won it five times. I always kind of root for dogs, and I never really rooted for the Lakers. So unfortunately, I rooted for the Pacers. I rooted for the 76ers.
The Pacers. Who roots for the Pacers that doesn't live in Indianapolis?
Well, just
that's
in
just
NBA
weird.
Finals, it was the Pacers against the Lakers. I rooted for the pathetic Nets, and Kenyon Martin, I believe, was on that team.
Rooted for a bunch of losers.
I barely remember. They beat the Orlando Magic. That was a Dwight Howard, Rashard Lewis, Orlando Magic team. That was in the NBA Finals.
Both former Wizards.
And
don't forget.
The Celtics. You know, those were great battles because in 2008, the Celtics beat the Lakers, and then the Lakers faced them again, Game 7 in the 2010 NBA Finals, and the Lakers win that. Kobe wins MVP, although I don't think he had a great fourth quarter.
My funny story about when Kobe dropped 61 on the Knicks at Madison Square Garden. I can't remember what year it was, but David Lee, the former center for the Knicks, said that Kobe came out at the pregame tip and said usually that he'll shake everybody's hand, he's jovial. Right. He said that he just came out and just glared at everyone. And then David Lee went back to the bench and told D'Antoni, who was the coach, said, I don't know what's going on with Kobe, but something bad's about to happen to us. And then Kobe dropped 61 on their heads
right
in Madison Square Garden. You know, that the great players want to do it in the biggest stages. And what stage is bigger than right. Madison Square Garden in New York City, a basketball mecca?
What was the quote that people have been talking about the last 24 hours about how what was he supposed to do? Pass to Chris Mim and Kwame Brown.
Yeah. Makes sense. You know, makes a lot of sense.
He says, I took 50 shots. Well, what am I supposed to pass to Chris Mim and Kwame Brown?
It's a very good point.
All right, let's
And this probably, this is a footnote of his playing career. But remember, there was that brief period of time where it's like he wanted to show everybody, oh, I can pass because he averaged like over 11 or 12 assists. It was not necessarily the best teams. I think it might have been like the Steve Nash teams. Remember, Nash joined the Lakers for a while, but Kobe all of a sudden for like a month or two just showed the league I can average 10 assists per game. But he was just he was phenomenal, and we were talking about this very early in the show. Why does it hit you, Kobe Bryant? Like some, I mean, we see stars that pass away tragically fairly frequently, and to me it never really hits home. This one hit home, and I just think it's the amount of TV time for me.
The volume of
just
it.
The volume of watching Kobe Bryant. I mean, I watched every one. There's not one of those NBA Finals games that I missed.
Yeah.
And countless TNT games, just great matchups, and all the playoff games leading up to it.
Yeah.
And I usually was on the wrong side, rooting for like the Portland Trailblazers
right.
or something.
Rooting for like the Sacramento Kings.
Right.
And just losers like that.
Just because I was rooting anti-LA.
Yeah, Eric, you've always said you got size for greatness. And
yeah.
I just think that's the easy,
identifiable
thing with Kobe is that he just made it look so easy.
Yeah.
When you watch it, so smooth, so just fluid on the court. I mean, there's a million memories from everybody out there. And, you know, each one impacts people differently. But I just looking forward to, as awful as a tragedy this is just hearing stories about Kobe for the next few years or weeks or whatever it is, people talking about that competitive drive. And no matter what you do, I mean, none of us are real athletes here, but Kobe, even myself, I would think about him all the time. Like, you can work harder, you can do this, you can stay longer in the gym, whatever it is. For some reason, I always thought of Kobe about working harder at stuff.
Work ethic.
Huh. Kids, school, whatever it is. I mean, there's a lot to learn from him off the basketball court.
Yeah, no doubt. And he just seemed to be comfortable in his own skin, especially as he got older.
Right.
And we know that they had the issue in Colorado, and I don't know what happened there, and I think there was a settlement, and that clearly was a dark period in his life. But he seemed to rally from it and grow from it. So let's play out some of these calls. Let's go to Matt in Arlington. Matt, what's up, buddy? You're all the Junks.
Good morning, gentlemen. How y'all doing this
hey,
morning?
Matt. Hey. Okay.
Hey, one thing I just want to get into when I talked about in terms of Kobe is just, the one thing that he taught me, and I think taught a lot of people from my generation, I grew up watching him. I played basketball at the point guard and the shooting guard position when I was little, and every time when I put up a shot, if I knew it was going in, our generation yelled, Kobe! And it's up to us to just keep that going, to keep his mentality going. The other thing that I took away from him, you guys just hit it, it was his work ethic and his strive for greatness and excellence. The Mamba mentality is something I've tried to carry with me everywhere I've gone, whether it's been through school, work, or sports, doesn't matter what it is. That man, like, just instilled so much into so many people across this entire world. Like, this isn't just like an NBA and sports issue. This is a worldwide news. This was a worldwide tragedy. That's all there is to it.
Yeah. Thank you, buddy. Appreciate it. Appreciate your call. Let's go to Randall in Mechanicsville. Randall, what's up, buddy? You're all with the Junks.
What's going on, guys? A sad day today.
Yeah.
No, my most memory of Kobe, and that last caller you had last segment, who said he was my generation's Michael Jordan, is exactly right. I'm 28 years old, so I saw the tail end of Michael's, but the all of Kobe's career. And I played soccer for a while, and when I played, you know, I always wonder, like, man, how can I get into this deeper gear and everything? And then I watched Kobe Bryant. That's when he was starting to get his Mamba mentality. And you know, it's funny. I used to play like high school and everything, and you know, I'd play defense and all that. And there would be another player on the field who was a very good person on offense. And I tell them, and they look at me like I'm crazy. I told them all the time, "So you're not going to outwork me tonight? Like it's not happening. Like you're not going to." And I got that from Kobe Bryant. That's how I remembered him, was just being a complete dominator. And if it was Vince Carter, if it was Tracy McGrady, it was like, "Oh, he's good. But he's not going to be me. Like he's not going to be my kind of good." And that's what I remember him. Thanks, guys.
Yeah, thank you. Appreciate
it. Thanks for the call.
Good memories.
He completely maxed out his talent. Like he just brought up two really good players. I mean, Tracy McGrady was a really good player. I don't know, he had some injuries or whatever, but Kobe separated himself from those guys who had the physical gifts.
The killer instinct.
Vince Carter had physical gifts and was a very good player and still playing in the league. But Kobe was another level just because of some of those things.
Very, very similar to Jordan.
Yeah.
Very similar. Both kind of wired the same way. And I think Tiger, too. When I think of that killer instinct drive work ethic, I think of Jordan. I think of Tiger. I think of Kobe. I'm not sure who else. I'm sure there are others.
Pretty rarified air.
But I mean, that are that complete.
Right. I think Tom Brady's thought of that way.
Probably
NFL.
Tom Brady.
I mean, there are a lot of guys that you can probably come up with, but Kobe was the best and worked harder than everybody else.
Yeah. There's a rarefied air.
Yeah.
Only a few guys.
And I think also when he had his injuries, I think there was a documentary on him. I've seen so many now. I saw one about like DeMarcus Cousins come back that I don't want to mix it up. But I mean, Kobe was a monster kind of come back from the
and the way he recreated his game around his injury to still be as impactful is just unbelievable. And the fact that he scored whatever it was 60 in his last game, just
60.
Yeah, some
I think Shaq was on the sideline and they joked or something, and Shaq said something like, "You're gonna go for 40 tonight," and he said 50, and they ended up with 60.
Yeah, it's crazy. All right, guys, have you been putting off heating system repairs, hoping your old system will make it through the winter? Stop worrying about the forecast and live comfortably thanks to the five-star heating experts at Crop Metcalf. For a limited time, Crop Metcalf is waiving their heating service diagnostic fee with the purchase of a recommended repair or service agreement. That'll save you about $100. For details and to schedule, call 1-800-GO-CROP or visit cropmetcalf.com. Crop Metcalf, home of the five-star technician.
Welcome back. Chucky's on 106.7 The Fan. We are live on NBC Sports Washington. And joining us right now, head coach of the Maryland Terrapins, who find themselves second in the Big Ten after a big comeback win against Indiana yesterday, which we'll get to. It's Coach Mark Turgeon on the Mattress for Us Hotline. What's up, Coach?
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Hey, good morning.
Okay. So only three of us are in studio right now because Jason, who played at DeMatha for Coach Wooten, is at the funeral. Yeah. We kind of wanted to get your thoughts on Morgan and the legacy of Morgan Wooten and your interactions with him before we get into Maryland basketball.
Yeah. So I was fortunate enough when I moved here to get to know Morgan. Coach Wooten, he reached out to me. I spoke at his clinic. He was a mentor, you know, being a former coach and a great coach, one of the all-time best. You know, and things weren't going well for me when I first got here. He always reached out. He was a good friend, a good mentor, and helped me through a lot of things. So didn't have to do that. Unfortunately, I never saw him coach. He had retired by the time I got out here, never recruited any of his kids when I was younger. But and then, you know, just living in this area, going to coaches' clinics and hanging out with people and people in my neighborhood that played for him, you know, he was put up on a really high pedestal. It would always be Coach Wooten did this, Coach Wooten did that. And, you know, it's the way he touched lives outside of basketball, I think, that really kind of move me when I talk to people and people in the area and how much he did for not only them as a basketball player, as a person, or for their family. And, you know, he was just a special guy, and he was one of the all-time great coaches. But from everything I've gathered and my time with him, he was even a much better person.
And he was EB's history teacher.
Oh, yeah, he was a great history teacher, too. He's just an impactful person. You didn't have to play for him to have an impact on your life. It was crazy. You know, and yesterday was a crazy day we with the Kobe Bryant news. Just wanted to get your sort of thoughts on that. We're all shocked, obviously, just a horrible tragedy. Yeah. Hit us like something that's very hard to compare to, really. What is just sort of your take and the legacy of Kobe for you?
Well, unfortunately, I never met Kobe. Competed against him. I was a young assistant with the 76ers with Coach Brown, and we played the Lakers. And, of course, Kobe was from Philadelphia and grew up there. I lived near in his neighborhood where he grew up. And you know, I just think the way he approached life, always trying to be the best. He was always competitive. You know, obviously won a lot of world championships, did a lot of great things, but I'm just devastated because what he was going to do the rest of his life. You know, he was doing some great things for young ladies, having four daughters, in women's basketball. He was doing great things in the business world. He was just helping people. He was in position to help people, and he was helping so many people. So it's devastating. And then to see my locker room yesterday go from jumping up and down, hugging each other, to praying and telling the team about Kobe, and go immediately to tears. My guys love Kobe. And, like, I grew up loving Michael Jordan.
Right.
My players grew up loving Kobe Bryant. So it was a devastating locker room. One like I've never seen, to just absolutely the, you know, biggest thrill to devastating news, to tears, and, you know, just trying to counsel them all the way home on the plane. And you know, I think it's one of these things that we're going to have to do later this week, just get with our guys and just make sure we talk about it and try to process the whole thing for them, because they're devastated, and really at their age, it's really hard for them to understand.
Right.
Talking to Coach Mark Turgeon, head coach of the Maryland Terrapins, who beat Indiana 77-75 yesterday, tied for second in the Big Ten. Now, before we get to the game, since you mentioned your time with the 76ers, I don't know in all the times we've had you on the show that we've ever explored this. What was that locker room like? Because I'm just checking the roster. Was that Iverson, Derek Coleman? I mean, there were some personalities in that team.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. It was crazy, Bill. It was fun, though.
Crazy, though.
They, you know, we had Jimmy Jackson, too, and I could talk for years about him, but you know, I loved Allen. I've said that before. He was a great competitor and just a, you know, he was misconstrued, I think, in a lot of ways, but loved being around him. Derek Coleman was one of the smartest players I've ever been around. He taught me a lot about the game. He was older than I was, taught me a lot about it. You know, Stack and I have become really good friends, and Jimmy Jackson and I have become really good friends since then. So, you know, we were young. We made some trades. I was only there the first year, and made some trades. And of course, Coach had him in the I think the finals, Eastern Conference Finals, 2 years later. But learned a lot. What a high level of basketball, and just to me the greatest athletes in the world.
Coach, you talked about the wild mood swings in yesterday's game. I'm sure you had that with Jalen Smith, who finished with 29, his second career high. Just this past week, he has the great game, but then he has the interaction with the fans where he's pointing at the logo at center court, and everybody saw you come up and just grab him and say, look, you can't do this. You had to settle him down. Talk about, you know, the highs and lows with Jalen yesterday, and he apologized for his actions as well.
Yeah. Well, first of all, Jalen Smith is one of the greatest kids I've ever coached. He's the most humble superstar you'll ever be around. He lost his mind for a minute. He played his tail off. He was phenomenal. Defensively, offensively, we're asking him to do so much. We never sub him out. He, you know, plays almost the whole game, has so much responsibility, and he just, it's the first time he's really had to do it on the road. He stepped up on the road, and if you've ever been to a game at Indiana, it's an amazing atmosphere with probably, you know, one of the best fan bases in the country, very knowledgeable, and Jalen was just so excited. So he didn't react the right way. I told him no once, told him to stop it, and then CBS Sports wanted to do an interview with him, which wasn't very smart on our part, and he walked back out, and that's when I had to do my thing with him. But he, I tell you what, he's got great parents. He was raised the right way. Jalen apologized to me. He apologized to his team. Apologized to Indiana. That will never happen again. I can promise you that. Jalen just lost his mind for a minute. He's a great kid. I hope people don't judge him on that 1 minute. I hope they judge him on what kind of a competitor he was yesterday and what a great kid he is.
You know, on the court, you can see that your team will have these periods of times where you just can't knock down shots. But one of the things I have to credit you, last couple games, only 11 turnovers, only 5 against Indiana. Yeah. That's something that's not necessarily highlighted, but when you take care of the ball, you're in a better position to win.
No doubt. And I mean, I'll say this. Indiana played their tail off yesterday. And if they would have played bad and we won by one, I'd be, you know, whatever. But they played great. They played a great basketball game until maybe the last 2:37 of the game. And we beat a team that's hot, that played, shot well, shot better than they normally shoot. That's what made it great. But, you know, I made the comment after the Northwestern game, hey, maybe we're going to become the hottest three-point shooting team in the country. You know, we've changed the way we play. We started doing it around Christmas. It's taken some time. It just doesn't happen overnight. We had to change the way we were playing. We couldn't score. It's really freed the guys up, and they're making good decisions. We've been working on playing this way, though, without turnovers for 2 years. Since our season ended 2 years ago with not a very good year, and it's just taken a long time to get these guys to fully understand how they need to play to not turn the ball over. So it's great to see. To do it on the road's even better. You know, hopefully that carries over. But you're right. You know, in the second half, we missed a lot of wide-open threes. We missed layups. We missed free throws. And you're just like, golly, man, we're going to come up a little bit short, and it's just frustrating because we can't make these plays when we need to make them. And then the guys did it. You know, we made the plays down the stretch, and it's got to make them feel good. But, you know, as a coach, we got to guard better. We weren't very good defensively. We've been good all year defensively. We weren't great defensively. But I think Indiana's a really heck of a good team, especially in that building.
Great win for you guys. But, yeah, it's got to be frustrating as a coach because, like, Wiggins down the stretch had two corner threes wide open off of good passes. Great ball movement. Missed him. And then he hits the one with the guy in his face.
Yeah. Well, that's life. And, you know, Eric Island missed the free throw. We missed front end one-on-one. We missed, I think, seven opportunities at the foul line in the second half. And the lead kind of got away from us. And then they took the lead because we were missing free throws. And, yeah, it got a little frustrating. And, but, you know, in the last time out, you know, I thought Daryl was terrific the last 5 minutes of the game, played his best 5 minutes. And, you know, in the timeout, I said, don't stop shooting, Wiggs. You're going to make your next one. And, you know, you just got it with these kids today with social network and just, you know, after every game you're criticized or talked about how good you are after every game. And it's poison to these guys. And so every day I'm trying to build these guys up or help them understand, you know, that they're good players or whatever it is. And so we're constantly doing that. And, you know, I think we didn't handle the pressure well early in the season. I think we're getting used to it. I think we're getting better. You know, we have some deficiencies that we try to overcome. But the good thing is when I can look out there and I can see guys playing with confidence, that makes me feel good because we weren't doing that for a long time. Portion of this season.
It's a huge win, Coach.
You know,
Coach, we're up against a break. We got like 10 seconds.
Okay, guys.
Thank you so much.
I'm getting off, guys.
And thanks a lot for your insight on Kobe.
Thank you, Coach.
Coach Wooten.
Appreciate it.
I guess. All right.
Thanks, that's Coach Turgeon. They got two big home games this week. They've got Iowa and Rutgers.
Then they have to go on the road to Illinois. All three teams ranked. Doesn't get any easier.
Right. But they're in a good position.
Yep.
They're in a real good spot.
Definitely.
All right, got to get out of here. For Bish, Cake, CB, I'm JP. We'll see you tomorrow. Grant and Danny, they're up next right here on The Fan.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.